This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Embracing Change podcast. We are excited to have you for this episode, episode number 97. Do you realize we are three away from 100?
Wow. Almost like City Gospel Mission, one away from 100.
That's right. That's right. We're coming up on our centennial. It's just, it's amazing. I don't know. Just thinking about our 100th episode, we need to do something big.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that look like? I think just doing this is big, but maybe that's you right. Have something else in mind.
I don't know. Let me think about it. But anyway, folks, we're just really, really grateful that you've joined us. You're coming along with us on season 10, and the subject for this season has been Unraveling, Healing versus Cure in Deep Pain. And today's episode is called Management of Life Suffering. And that, oh my goodness, suffering. When I think about suffering, I think about the fact that everyone everywhere avoids suffering like the plague. And sometimes suffering can really like provoke a lot of change. So when you're thinking about management of life suffering, where was the first place that you landed?
Where was the first place that I landed? Managing life suffering. Is that what you asked?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. What did you ask? I was looking at something.
That's right.
And that's okay. That's part of life suffering. See, being able to admit your mistakes. A lot of people won't even admit when they've done something wrong. They don't know how to manage even that kind of suffering. People get embarrassed about things and get knocked off a kilter, get their, you know what I'm saying, that balance about who they are and what they are. But the biggest thing I really want to talk about with this is how do we manage our emotions?
Do you equate emotions with suffering?
I do.
So, because that was going to be my question.
Like, I do.
How do you define suffering?
Because most of us create suffering from our emotions. And let me explain that. What I mean by that is that most of the time, if I have an emotional feeling sad, angry, if I have an emotion that is excruciating, overwhelming, an anxiety, suffering comes from that. Instead of me processing that emotion through a healthy lens, most of us project into stuff and create things that don't even exist.
I've done that.
And so what we tend to do is we project. We do more projection with emotions that create suffering. Suffering is not a bad thing as long as you can understand that life is, you're going to suffer in this life. But most of us create self-inflicted suffering because, one, we don't want to face the pain of what's going on. So we almost, it's almost like we cycle ourselves into something that doesn't or isn't true. So we start projecting and having thoughts about what's the worst that can happen? Oh my God. You know what I mean? And then we go into this big old whirlwind and then we cycle ourselves down into a pit.
Oh, yeah.
And so then we suffer in that space. And then when we come out of it or we deal with the situation at hand or the emotion that we're feeling, right? So when it says that you management of life suffering, how many of us have not managed our suffering well because we created it to be something it wasn't?
So could you divide suffering into involuntary suffering and voluntary suffering?
Exactly.
And do you think that people as a whole, like with, at least this is how I see it, that maybe as a society, everything around us is tailored to keep us from suffering of any kind. And so when we encounter it, we don't know what to do with it.
I would say this culture and this generation, I'll be 63, God willing, tomorrow, and I live.
Woohoo! Happy early birthday.
Thank you. So I believe that I have been postured to learn how to suffer well, meaning I didn't have a microwave at 5 years old to microwave popcorn.
Right. Which you love.
Which I love.
Yes.
So I had to suffer. And, you know, when I say suffer, you can use suffering in many ways. I had to put off. I didn't get instant gratification. I had to put the pan on the stove.
Oh, I remember those days.
Let the pan and the oil get hot, then put the popcorn in and wait for it to pop, and then have to clean the pan, put the popcorn in a bowl, put butter and salt in the bowl. It wasn't already in the bag when I popped it.
Yep, you had to like shake the pan and make sure it
didn't stick. Yep. And then I had to put the butter on it and the salt in the bowl.
Yep.
To me, my grandson who is 12, have no experience with that. He only knows microwave popcorn. So for him to have to suffer through that time limit to get that popcorn done, that would be a suffering for him. It's an inconvenience. And I think we have not taught this generation how to, it's almost like self-gratification, putting it off. So if it's like having a goal, I may have to suffer now for the later gratification.
Like endurance.
Endurance, exactly.
Teaching
endurance.
Yeah.
Because when you look at suffering, even the definition, it says the state of undergoing pain, distress, and hardships. So the true meaning of it is undergoing of pain, distress, or injury. Something suffered, pain, distress. In other words, you have got to learn how to endure, how to bear under the pain. This whole thing is about unraveling healing versus cure and the deep pain. Most of us don't know how to manage our life suffering. We let life and the suffering overtake us.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it totally does.
And so therefore what I am saying is that we have a generation right now that everything is micromanaged. Everything is instant gratification. Everything is, I have no patience. I have no ability, you know what I'm saying? So to put off or to put in what it takes for me to get what I want. That's why we see we see all of the Botox and we see all of the butt stuff and we see all that. Those are instant, I don't want to do exercise to lift my butt up. I'll just go to the doctor and get it done.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like ab.
Exactly.
Inserts, and so,
ab inserts. So, everything, nobody wants to suffer what it takes to manage life's outcome and the pain that it takes. And sometimes patience is pain because it doesn't come quickly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
All
I'm saying in this episode is that the management of life suffering is your ability to know that, healing is also a part of having the ability to express your emotions and yet know that eventually I will get through this. But most of us hurt ourselves and we put suffering on ourselves because we don't know how to regulate our emotions.
Mm.
We don't know how to stop them.
Yeah.
We don't know how to control them. We let them dictate to us. It's whether it could be a piece of candy. It could be, it could be a piece of cake. It could be, I want what I want when I want it. We don't know how to pretty much pull ourselves back and manage ourselves.
Yeah, it's kind of like having savings.
Exactly.
I've got a dollar in my hand. Well, I can either save it, like put it in the bank, or I can spend it.
Exactly.
And if you can save money, then you're learning how to endure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. And the Bible says in John, I think it's in John 16:33, it says, in this world you will have
trouble.
Trials, tribulations.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the Bible say suffering, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Yes.
In other words, I have taken the ability of the world to harm you out. When I took on the world by the death that I took, I suffered for you. Now you create your own suffering. As I talked about it at River City the other day, I created my own suffering. Once someone created pain for me, then I start creating my own pain, and then my own pain started creating my suffering.
Yeah, I think you called it being pinned down.
Exactly. So we start pinning ourselves down, spiraling out of control, not managing how we're feeling, or our emotions, or our thoughts of how I perceive things. We project a lot, which creates suffering, unnecessary suffering, when there's real suffering. There's real suffering in the world. There's people in the world all over that don't have food. You know what I mean? That don't have housing. Not because they're being irresponsible, because they would rather live homeless, but I'm talking in countries.
You're talking poverty.
Poverty.
Like out of control poverty.
Exactly.
That they can't just go get a job at a fast food restaurant and, you know, earn some cash.
Like, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's real suffering.
Right.
They were born into it.
Yeah.
There were countries that they were born into. It wasn't something that they chose. It was something they were born into.
Yeah.
There is countries that people were born. And so some days I thank God, most of the days I thank God for everything, but I really thank God for where he chose to let me be born.
Right. Right. Because it was for a purpose, right?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, like we have all this stuff, but God, for whatever reason, put us here. So we have to be responsible for what he's entrusted to us.
And so, and not only that, it's not just about the suffering of, I mean, just being responsible for what he's given us. It's also the suffering that you endured in order to take what you went through and the suffering you endured and create something beautiful out of it.
Mm.
Because I have suffered, you have suffered. You know, suffering is, we just said, distress and pain. We all have had painful situations in our life, emotional, actually life issues, other people putting their stuff on us, making decisions for us. But then there comes a time when you have to learn how to navigate that suffering and get yourself out of it.
Mm, yeah. Yep.
Does that make sense?
It totally does, yeah.
And so I think that when I say about the management of it, it's just called, how do you manage your life and your suffering? How do you do it? The ones that, the pieces of life suffering that you have no control over and the ones that you do have control over. You have to decide how you're going to manage that. And I think a lot of it comes with how we think and our perception and our projection.
That,
it's how we posture ourselves in our minds.
It's what we say to ourselves.
It's what we say to ourselves. It's how we say it.
Yeah.
When we say it, to whom we say it to.
Yeah. Yep.
Everything is about timing, you know, when it comes. You know, there's all kind of stuff that happens in our lives. Right now, I'm dealing with a situation with my husband, and I'm watching him suffer in some areas, which is legitimate because of some things he's going through. And yet, I have seen him suffer more from his mentality about it than I have from his physiological perspective. And I think that he is just now getting to a point that he realizes that he is giving mental energy to something that he shouldn't give to, and making blame to other people about it instead of taking responsibility of the choices that he has made. Because once you shift your mind, you shift your emotions. And once you shift your mind and your emotions, you shift your behaviors. You shift your behaviors, you shift your life.
Amen. Amen.
And as simple as that.
Yeah.
But you first got to come to grips with what you've been thinking about. Then what you've been feeling about what you've been thinking about. Then you have to shift what you've been thinking about, what you've been feeling about, what you was thinking about, to your behaviors. So then you can shift your life.
It reminds me of one of the podcasts that we did when you talked about perspective, and you said sometimes it's just a tilt of your head.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about how people perceive some situations as being suffering, And it's like, if they would just tilt their head a little bit in some stuff, not all stuff, because mm-hmm. obviously there's legit like
suffering.
Yeah. Like core horrible stuff. Sometimes it's just perspective on, are you suffering really? Like tilt that head.
And be willing to tilt it. Not just tilt it once, but tilt it until you can see it different.
Yeah.
There's four types of suffering: physical, mental, emotional, and psychological. And I think that, you know, we often use, you know, and refer to the types as pain and suffering, but it's all in how you decide, as I just said, you know, your thinking. You know what I mean? There's true physical suffering, like you break your bone, you're gonna suffer some pain. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Eventually, when they put in the cask or whatever they have to do or to go through the surgery, you know, that's physical pain and that's some suffering. It's some discomfort. It's going to, you know, until you get back to the natural way that that bone should have been set.
Oof, yeah.
You know what I mean? But then the mental is about your thoughts and what you allow come into your mind and your emotions, how you feel about it. And the psychological part is how you shift about it. Because your psychological well-being comes into your behaviors and how you walk it out. And if you're not willing to deal with your mental, I think everything does with the mind, the way we deal with ourselves mentally. What do I tell myself? What is the story? Brené Brown talks about it. What story am I telling myself?
Yeah.
Because the stories we tell ourselves is the truth that it becomes. And then once we believe the truth or the story that we tell ourselves, and something in our brain, she talks about it all the time, is something in us that needs to hook on a story to tell ourselves. Because we don't like to take responsibility a lot of times that I don't have to take a situation and create a bad story for it. But most of us do to justify how we're feeling. So if you do something to me, you know what I'm saying, or you hurt me or you disappoint me, then I've got to justify a story in my head to try to create a scenario to make that okay for myself. When I could easily just say, Jennifer, you disappointed me. Jennifer, you hurt me. Why do I have to make you a bad person? Why do I have to suffer with my thought processes to create a scenario about who you are just because I'm feeling uncomfortable?
Yeah. You don't want to admit your vulnerability.
Exactly.
By saying, you hurt me.
Right. Take ownership.
Yeah.
You know, or even in this, what you did bothered me. It hurt me. You know what I mean? It created me. And what does that hurt look like? It shattered even a perception I had, or expectation I had, a concept I had, an idea, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It shattered something. But really, does that say anything about you as much as it says it about me?
Or informs you about something that you think or believe.
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Yeah. So your behavior, all it did was inform me.
Yeah. Like if it hurt you, it's like, why did it hurt you?
Why did that hurt me? What was that really about? And where did it hit me at?
Yeah. So it's like digging into that to let it inform you as to, is there something you still need to deal with?
Exactly.
Or is it just a legit offense? That
exactly.
You just,
or not even offense, or is it just a legit boundary that was crossed,
yeah,
or a
that
rub or irritation, yep, that it was legitimate? You know what I mean? And that, yep, I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
You know, and I would, you know, I'm going to talk about this situation without mentioning names. And I just remember most of the ministry time I've been in this ministry that God gave me and founded through, you know, my life and my suffering. Then he gave me, I feel like he put something in my hand. And so in this last year, again, I count my years as my birthday. And so my New Year's is tomorrow. Because tomorrow is my birthday, as we said before, you know. But I look back and reflect over this year. And there was a situation in December that I made a decision in December, and I bought someone on my team. And later on, I found out other things. And it bothered me because there was some integrity in my perspective that happened with that person. And I remember when I took that before the Lord as I was processing the situation, and I felt like I had every legitimacy to feel the way I was feeling. And I'll never forget when the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, I picked my Judas and my Peter. I picked them. I chose them. I knew their potential and I knew what they were capable of doing. I knew that they both equally were going to betray me. He said, but one chose to kill himself after betraying me. One chose to go back to what he was familiar with. But one repented, and that person became the leader of the church in Acts. He said, so my point is, you were hurt, Lucretia, by it, but let me show you the privilege you've had and the opportunity that you have now. You are suffering out of the fact that most of your relationships in your ministry has also been your friends. I'm untangling that. I'm unwinding that. This is an opportunity for you to grow, to experience something you've never experienced before, to actually work with someone and not necessarily need to connect with them on a personal level. Because everyone that you have been involved with thus far, you have sought out a connection with them for some reason. And he said, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but it doesn't mean it's going to be an all thing. You don't need to connect on that level with everyone. That's a new insight and wisdom for you. So you're going to dust your feet off and your experience, and you're going to look at this and walk through this suffering, this disappointment, this letdown from a choice you made, and you're going to grow from it. And you're going to learn so many things if you let yourself walk through this suffering moment. Mm. And I am telling you, I've learned so much.
Yeah.
From that suffering decision. From that decision, that suffering moment has matured and grown me over the last 6 months in ways that I never thought I'd grow.
Yeah, it sounds like you invited God into the processing of that emotion.
I did.
Because your emotions are valid no matter what they are.
Exactly.
And they're informing you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what a beautiful, merciful thing for God to really talk about that.
He talked about me.
Right.
He didn't talk about the situation. He let me tilt my head.
He let you tilt your
head. And let me see
right.
the situation from an opportunity.
Yeah.
And said, yes, everything you're feeling is legitimate. Everything that you found out about this situation is truth.
It's real. Yeah.
And it's real. You're not making it up. You didn't go look for it. It came to you. It came to you. I can't even, and now you're coming to me, telling me how you feel about it.
Which is what he wants us to do,
and
right?
And so
yeah.
Now I'm going to let you sit in it, but then eventually I'm going to unveil to you and inform you the opportunity you have.
Yeah.
Because you've been in ministry, and most of the people that's been in ministry with you have been your friends or your family. And how has that worked out for you most of the time? It's been okay. And yet this is a season that you're not necessarily looking for a friend in this situation.
Yeah,
you're looking for the work to get done.
Now it's unraveling a bit.
It's unraveling.
Yeah.
So it's time to move to the next space.
Yeah. That's so good.
I'm telling you, it's been amazing to see that.
I love when God shifts us, when he can help us. Sometimes we need him to help us tilt our head.
Exactly.
Right?
And to see the situation from a different perspective. But
right.
I was, I had to manage that life suffering moment.
Yeah.
Because I toyed with that. Because the kind of person, when you come from trauma the way I did, those things that happened to me in that situation was a trigger for me. It triggered distrust. It triggered me to think about that I'm not going to be able to trust this person. But how can I be relinquishing something that doesn't belong to me? This ministry doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And what I felt like that situation was showing Lucretia was that you can either trust me, Lucretia, that I got this, or you can keep trusting yourself that you need to have it. Which one? And that situation showed me that I must trust God. I must trust that I am a steward, not an owner. And I own the responsibility to manage my life. I'm not responsible to manage other people's. I can have the conversations and share with the person how I did not like what they did, but I don't need to cut them out and cut them away to keep myself safe.
Yeah, you don't need to pull out that sword and cut off their ear.
I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And that was normally my posture.
Yeah, a lot of us.
You get me, and I'm going to get you 10 times worse.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a whole new pivot for me. A new way of learning how to manage my life suffering, disappointments, reality. It was a whole big thing for me to learn how to do that. And I'm still learning, but I'm a lot better at it today than I was a year ago as I get ready to go into my new year.
Yeah.
And like I said, my year's word has been unprecedented. So I've had a lot of unprecedented moments in this year. And that means things that I've never experienced or never seen, or I have nothing to reference. You know what I mean? Like a situation that's happening now, and I had to tell the person, that's never happened to me. In 28 years that I've been here, I've never experienced that experience. So I don't even have anything to share with you about it. So you're going to have to come up with your own. And then you're going to have to tell me how you're going to deal with it. Because I have no wisdom to give you because I've never experienced it. That situation has never occurred on my watch. It was unprecedented.
You know, that's so funny. When you told me your word unprecedented, of course it wasn't my word, but when you were telling me about it, I was thinking like external situations happening to you, which have also happened that have been unprecedented. I'm not dismissing that at all, but that's all I thought. And so as you're talking, I'm thinking, wow, he's giving you unprecedented moments within yourself.
Internal.
And how you processed and taught you how to manage when you've had these suffering moments and where your original go-to was, I'm going to come out swinging.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come out swinging. I'm going to fight this battle. You humbled yourself, postured yourself before the Father and said, this really bothers me. This, you know, as you should, right? Like that is such a beautiful example that everybody should do.
Mm-hmm.
It says to bring your burdens before the Lord, like mm-hmm. really invite him in first before we swing. And he showed up in such a beautiful way and said, okay, Lucretia, now here's how we're going to do this. And so mm-hmm. how awesome, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's been amazing. Most of it has been the unprecedented moments have been more about me, that he was taking me from being healed to being cured, because a cure is to die. Unless the seed falls to the ground and die, it has no life. And that really has been what he's done for me this year.
Amen.
It's been about him inviting me to be cured.
Mm.
And to be cured means that I must die so he can live.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And so it's not just about me being healing, because healing is being aware of something. But dying is willing to let it go and not even see it from your perspective anymore. See it from a higher perspective. So all of those situations has been unprecedented within me. He's been curing me, Jennifer, in ways I never saw possible.
When
you said to me today, the first thing you said, with everything that you know that I've just had meetings, and you said, but you have such a serene.
I said, you were very zen.
Zen.
Yeah, you were very peaceful. And I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, because
I have no clue that you've had all this stuff going on.
Yeah, because I've learned that that's the cure. Not letting the outside things that you deal with change your inside posture. That's the management of life suffering, is being able to go through the process, knowing that you feel the way you feel, you are the way you are, but it won't shake you. See, peace is not the absence of chaos. It's how you posture it. Peace is not the absence of suffering. It's how you posture to suffering.
Yeah, amen. Reminds me of something I read 2 days ago about, there's a psychologist on Instagram, and she posts stuff about boundaries and different things. And she said one of the biggest positions of power a person can have is to allow them to be wrong about you and to be wrong about a situation and to not go and then immediately correct it. And I've thought about that and thought about that, because my posture is I want people to know what I feel is the truth about something.
And I remember you and I've had those conversations many times. And yeah. I said, why does that matter?
Right.
You know who you are.
Right. And so I've really been marinating on that, because I mean, I've gotten away from that to where I don't need to justify anything myself or situation or whatever. And that's just sat with me about a position of power. And so I've been asking that question. Okay, God, what is that position of power that it's okay for people to be wrong about a situation? And wrong about me, right.
I have that same situation with another person, yeah. And I know they're wrong about me.
Yep.
And I'm not, I don't care that you're wrong about me. I don't need to try to make you feel different who I am. I know who I am.
Right. Amen. Amen. And maybe
you're wrong about who I am. But if that's your perception of me, that's what you have to suffer through, not me.
Right.
So you're going to navigate every time you deal with me based on who you think I am versus who I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to surprise you every time.
Amen. Yeah. That's so good. Boy, we could keep going on this, but we are actually going to have to end it there. So until next time, folks.
The year was 1924. A missions worker from Dayton, Ohio, realized that Cincinnati was in need of its own mission. A vision was born after working with business leaders in the area, including James N. Gamble of Procter & Gamble fame. Throughout its 100-year history, City Gospel Mission has worked tirelessly in the community to break the cycle of poverty and despair as a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and those needing job services. City Gospel Mission has also stayed true to being Christ-centered, as the founders intended when they laid the foundation of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We look forward to our next 100 years for changing lives and saving souls. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2023 by Lakrita Bowman.